I can't pass up the opportunity to share with you Genesis 22, our Old Testament lesson. It's about a father and a son who are asked to do the absolutely unthinkable with absolute obedience. This father, Abraham, was tested by God long before this event, and most of those tests he failed. But God knew Abraham's heart. Abram and Sarai, that was their original names, they were given a promise by Almighty God that they would have a son. All the way back in Genesis 15, God said to them, "A son coming from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Genesis 15, verses 4 and 5. The Lord made it absolutely clear to Abram that his son would be his heir and not one of his manservants. God wanted Abram and Sarai to trust him. In his time, a son would be born. The elderly Sarai and Abraham must have been scratching their... must have been scratching their heads. They were a little old to conceive a child. So it was this promise that God made a covenant with Abram. But you know what happens. People become impatient and they try to drive the bus. And that's what Sarai did. Sarai wanted a child for Abram. And so Ishmael was born of Sarai's maidservant Hagar, because she wanted to sort of help God along. No, it was God's plan. Instead of letting God be God, Abram and Sarai, through Hagar, brought Ishmael into this world. It was through impatience and disobedience that Ishmael was born. And through impatience and disobedience, Ishmael would not be Abram's heir. Later on in Genesis chapter 17, remember today's reading is in Genesis 22, so there's a few years before this, God made his covenant with Abram more defined, and at this he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. See how God's fine-tuning here and dialing in on the important facts? God promised to make him very fruitful, telling him, "I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." Then God said to Abraham, "Oh, as for your wife, Sarai, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of many nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham reacted with disbelief. Can you just imagine? An old man and an old woman could possibly have a son? And he asked God, "What about Ishmael? What about him?" And God answered Abraham's questions. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 19 to 21, God said, "Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant." There's no expiration date. An everlasting covenant for his descendants and for him. "And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I establish will be with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." Sarah, whose name means princess, would give birth to a miracle son with Isaac's descendants. God's covenant would be through Isaac and his descendants. And by the way, Isaac means he laughs. The Israelites come from Isaac's line, and not from Ishmael's, not the Ishmaelites. Isaac was the child of promise. Ishmael was a child of the flesh. You know, even this to this day, all of the stuff that's going on in the Middle East, it's between the Israelites, the children of Isaac, and the Ishmaelites, the children of Ishmael. It's a family fight that's going on. It truly is over property. Whose property? God's property. God's covenant is at the very center of all of this, of salvation history. The foundation of God's faithfulness to his people is established in this covenant. Because without God's faithfulness in keeping his promises, today's message that Jay read from Genesis 22 would not have happened. God came to Abraham, as he had done many times before, and commanded him to take his son, his only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. He was told to offer his son as a burnt offering. This was not a request, folks. This was not negotiable. This was a command, an order. Just imagine what must have been racing through Abraham's mind. He'd had many conversations with God, and each time the Lord was right. He was commanded at one point to split the animals in half. He was promised a son, and he was blessed with Isaac. Now God is commanding him to take that son and to kill him. Can you imagine the thoughts that must have crept into Abraham's mind? Didn't God promise that I was going to be the father of many nations? Didn't God promise that all along it was going to be through Isaac? What is God planning here? Holy Scripture does not tell us what Abraham was thinking, but it does tell us of his obedience to God's command and the journey that they traveled. Abraham and his family were living about 40 miles to the south of the Moriah region in a place called Beersheba. And so Abraham, his son Isaac, two servants, packed a donkey and set out for this secret journey. Bible tells us that after 3 days, God showed him the mountain that they were to climb. The mountain must have been significant. The Bible tells us this. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. When they arrived at the base of the mountain, Abraham tells the servants, "Stay over here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham's faith that God somehow is going to keep his promise is seen in the words that he just spoke. Wait. And we will come back. Not I will come back. We will come back. Some say Abraham was trying not to let on to the servants or to Isaac what was going to happen. But I believe Abraham knew the heart of God. And that somehow, some way, God would miraculously save the son of promise. As the writer of Hebrews mentions in 11:19, that God might even raise Isaac from the dead. And so he went. As Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son's back, he carried the knife and the fire to make fire for the offering. All the parts of the sacrifice were there, except something to sacrifice. Isaac was apparently had a clue as to what was happening, and he asked Abraham, "Father, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham's faith in God shines brightly in his answer to his beloved son. Abraham says, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." And the two of them went on together. God himself will provide the lamb. And God did provide the lamb. God himself. See, we can see in this vision of a son carrying the wood for his sacrifice up a hill where he's to be sacrificed. Believers in Jesus see God's only son, his own son, Jesus, who carried the wood on his back up that same hill to be the sacrificial lamb. Jesus became an offering for you and me in our place. And there was nobody to replace him like the ram in the thicket replaced Isaac. He was obedient to his father's plan that had been set into place since the first sin. Let him go in our place, God said. God himself will provide the lamb. The mountain that Isaac and Abraham climbed that day would one day be the focal point of the city of Jerusalem. Abraham saw it on that third day, as others would, as they go up to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, a place that you could not mistake or miss. This sacrificial site would become the place where sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice was done on what became known as the Temple Mount. The place where God took Abraham and Isaac would be the place that Solomon would build the beautiful temple. How ironic, thousands of years later, that site is now filled with Ishmaelites or Muslims, and the inescapable presence of the Dome of the Rock now sits there. And I believe it's only temporarily. In the book of Revelation, God still has plans for that place. The obedient father, Abraham, walked with his son to the place that God had showed him and built an altar there. He put the wood up on the altar, tying Isaac up and then putting him as the willing sacrifice on top of the wood. We can only not see the obedience of the father, but there's also the obedience, incredible obedience of the son, who trusted his father, who lay awaiting his fate. I can't even begin to conceive the strength that it must have taken for any father to go through this. And there are many fathers here today. I don't think you could do it. I know I couldn't. It would be one of the hardest things. But Abraham's obedience can give us a glimpse of God's ultimate gift to mankind. His son, nailed on top of the wooden cross. Isaac's obedience points to our Lord Jesus Christ silently and obediently enduring his suffering all the way from the Garden of Gethsemane to the very cross itself. It's mind-boggling. And it's humbling. Isaac didn't have to die, but Jesus did. Willingly carried his cross to the place in Jerusalem called Golgotha, on the side of that very mountain in the Moriah region. And he gave us his all, his very life, so that others might live. When Jesus got to the place of sacrifice where he would be nailed and crucified, there was no replacement waiting for him. No intervention by the angel of the Lord telling his captors, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Those are the words spoken to Abraham. There's no ram caught in the thicket. Instead, the sacrifice was taking our place, climbing onto the hard wood of the cross and stretching out his arms to embrace the whole world, forgiving those who would accept his sacrifice and his priceless love. Isn't that humbling? It's awe-inspiring. He loves me that much. That much. He loves you that much. A message that a man named Billy Graham would give for so many years from pulpit after pulpit. I was blessed to watch him for 5 consecutive nights in Jacksonville. And the message stayed true every single night. The Reverend Dr. Billy Graham would say, God loves you. You. And then we would sing Just As I Am as people would come forward to give their lives to Christ. God told the world of his faithfulness to what he promises through the words of Isaiah 46:11. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Abraham knew God, and knew God was as good as his word, as good as his promises. You know, many years ago, Billy Graham said, one day you will hear that Billy Graham has died. Billy Graham lives. And he's better than he's ever been in the arms of Jesus. And that's a promise that God has made to each one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Should not perish, but have eternal life. God keeps his promises. And we have living proof in Isaac. What God said, he did. God himself promised the lamb, and the lamb was God himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.